Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. You're listening to What to Read Next podcast, episode 39. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your hosts, Clara Jackson and Laura Yamin, will share their favorite book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for the next one, then join us. Welcome to the show, guys. So happy to have you back. It's been a few months since we last met, but let's just go ahead and introduce ourselves.
Hi, thanks, Laura. I am Clara. I am a big reader and a writer and love to share recommendations for your next book to read.
I know, and you have a ton of books in your house.
A million.
Really, she really does have a ton of books in her house. So I'm Laura, and I'm currently on a reading slump, which we'll be talking about this because it feels kind of unsettling as I've been consistently reading a book almost every day. And now I feel like I don't know what I'm going to read next. So, Clara, I know you know reading slumps too. So what do you do about that? How do you get them and how do you get out of them?
So, well, first of all, let me say, I think my reading slumps are very different than yours because I don't read a book a day.
Okay.
I do read every day, but I cannot get through a book a day. But I don't know, for me, when I get into a slump, it's usually because work is really stressful or I have a lot going on with, you know, family stuff. But it's usually around work, and it's because my brain is so fried that I pick up a book, I read a couple of pages, and then I'm like, I can't read anymore, even if it's good. And so I really don't like that. The other weird way that I get into a reading slump is that I'm very moody about the type of books I read. And
yeah.
So for instance, for this podcast, even though we had more time, I ended up only finishing one book because I kept picking up different books and they were all good, but I was so moody about which one I wanted to finish that eventually I just had to say, you've got to finish reading this book because you have a podcast. So that's how I get into the reading slumps. Again, it's either because I'm really moody, like I want to feel a certain way when I'm reading a book, or I want a certain atmosphere in the book, or my brain is just fried from work. And what do I do about it? I don't know. I mean, for me, sometimes I just can't force it. I just will let it go. If I read a couple pages, I just enjoy and savor what I read, and know that, you know, it's a long conversation for me with a book. So, I'll be able to savor the story. Or the other thing I do, though, is I start to give myself, if I really, especially when I'm trying to write, I feel like reading helps you to be a better writer. So when I'm really working on that, I just give myself a page limit that I have to read 25 or 50 pages a day. And usually by the time I get to page 10, I'm entrenched in the story and I'll keep going. So that's kind of how I handle a book slump. What about you?
So lately I'm a mood reader too, which I didn't realize that until I start setting up to be read piles of lists that I need to read. And then I realized, I'm like, oh no, that doesn't fit for me. I need to I feel like sometimes I feel like I need to write romance and I need to live their affection. And so I've been expanding my palette, which is actually, I think that's what's causing the reading slump, is that I've been expanding the wide range of books that I'm reading. Like, I'm not just exclusive romance or young adult novels. Like, I'm reading literary fiction, I'm reading thrillers, and so it's kind of like an interesting place to be. So I think for me, just accepting that I'm a mood reader, and then there are books that I need to read for review. So there's kind of like it's a work thing for me to do, and at the same time, like, but Netflix is kind of exciting to do. I've been watching Netflix movies, and I'm like, I'm getting involved in different things, and I have the podcast and all these different work related things that are taking time away from my reading time. So I think just kind of like getting set into it. I have to set the time aside of reading some books for review that I have to do for work, and then also reading for things that are fun. I think for me, books that are help me get out of reading slumps are like YA contemporaries, like those cute, cutesy romantic stories that are like, they're like fluffy and contemporary. They're kind of like cotton candy. They're easy to consume. I think those books get me out of reading slump. And also trying to read some really good books. Some thrillers are helpful because I'm going blind and I can't put it down. I want to know what the end of the story.
Right.
And so that's been good. I think lately, as a recommendation I heard from Instagram, was to try audiobooks. And so this year I've been trying a few audiobooks. And so this past week, since I've been on a reading slump, I was like, okay, I'm in a reading slump. I need to, I'm like, I guess I have to do something. So I listen to audiobooks at work, that's actually pretty awesome. While I'm doing Excel spreadsheets, I'm like listening to a romantic comedy on audiobook. And that's actually been engaging. So I feel like I'm getting my reading done, but at the same time, I'm doing some other things. So I bite the bullet. I'm doing Audible romance package this month, and I'm trying out different romance novels just to kind of like get back into the swing of things. But you know, just kind of like getting into it. I set a work schedule where I get to read a few hours a day. So that's one thing. And then on the weekends. So this past weekend, I had pretty much big things to do, like just being in the city, running errands and whatnot. So I didn't have much reading time. I think that's maybe allocating more reading time to get things done. But yeah, it's a whole ongoing process for me. And my reading life has changed in the past year. So last year, I read a book a day. So that was the goal. My goal was to read 365 books a day. And I ended up reading 362 books, which was good. It was a pretty, you know, I almost reached my goal. And then this year, I wanted to shift the conversation from reading a book a day. And most of the books that I read last year were romance, young adult novels, I think one or two thrillers, but there was just pretty much, it was purely romance. And you get to the point where you read so many Girlfriend for Hire and Arranged Marriage and whatnot, you're kind of like, I read the story over and over, I kind of want a different thing. So this year I made a commitment to read a more variety of voices. So I read some LGBTQA books, I read some thrillers, I read literary fiction, women's fiction. So there's a whole gamut of books that I'm reading that are different and they're engaging, and so they're different. And so it takes more time for me to consume them. And that's where I had to kind of like accept that books that typically will take me a day to consume are now taking me 2 or 3 days to consume, or a week to consume, or a couple weeks. There are books that I'm actually, that I started reading. There's a book that I started reading about 2 weeks ago, and I haven't picked it up, and I'm okay with that. Like, it's not going to mess up my Goodreads challenge that it took me 3 weeks to finish the book, because I know I'm going to finish. And, you know, I can pick up the story where it is. So I'm reading more books consistently, but I'm reading less books, but I'm reading more variety of the books.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I get it. I think when you were talking about some of the stuff you were talking about, like Netflix, so that's definitely something that when I get off work, it's easier for me to sit and watch like Hulu or Netflix than to read a book. And that's okay, because there's some really quality writing on these shows. And yeah. I mean, sometimes you just need a mental vacation or a binge.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel better when I read and when I finish a book. So for me, it's trying to find the balance of watching so much TV that I now don't have, I actually have the time, but I'm not spending the time with a book. So for me, it's trying to be, I sometimes have to be intentional because I love reading, but when I'm tired, it's so much easier for me to just turn on, you know, a show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've been watching Netflix, actually, which is, so for a long time, I didn't watch TV. So that's actually where my reading time came in. It's like the TV watching was replaced by reading. And now I'm like, well, Unreal's out, so I got to watch season 4. I watched quite a few Netflix movies. I saw Set It Up, and I saw The Kissing Booth, and all these different movies that are like up in Netflix, and I was like, I gotta watch them. So the time that I would have spent reading a book is the time that I'm spending watching Netflix or watching Hulu. And yeah. I just got a new TV today, so I'm like, I get to watch it again on the big screen TV. So yeah, so I'm kind of like, you know, it's accepting that there are other things that I take care of it. But for me, reading is a meditative practice. That's how I practice my meditation. It's kind of like keeps me focused on something. So
yeah.
I have to do it consistently. I'm making the time at different times of the day. So I do read during the commute. I read during lines. I read at different places because I read on the Kindle. So during the week, that's actually fairly easy to get a few pages down. But, you know, reading extensively during the weeknights, it may not look like that anymore. And
right.
I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Awesome. So we're going to go back to a short break and we'll be back in a few minutes. Laura here again. So today I want to chat about Book of the Month and their special offer, 2 books for the price of 1 in your first month. Book of the Month is a monthly subscription box that features 5 to 6 books each month for you to pick. These are hardcover new releases. The genres are literary fiction, thrillers, and some young adult novels. Some of the books I've gotten from Book of the Month are Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng, Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman, Final Girls by Riley Sager. If you don't like the book selections for the month, you can skip it and you won't be charged. If you're interested in getting this great deal of 2 books for the price of 1, then check out whattoreadnextblog.com/bookofthemonth. Okay, so we're back. Now we want to chat about books that, we read recently and what we're currently reading. So Clara, you read How to Walk Away by Catherine Sander. This book is on my TBR, so I'm curious to hear all about it. So tell me, what is it about? And tell me, what did you enjoy?
Sure. So this was the one book that I finished during our hiatus, although I did start reading several books. And I chose it because I think it was, I don't know if it was Nina George. One of the recommendations for the book said, if you only read one book this year, read this one. And the person who said it was an author that I like. So got it from the library, had to renew it a couple times just because I didn't start it. But anyway, it's a story about a woman named Margaret Jacobson, who, you know, it's one of those sort of, it starts out as a romantic story. She's got it all, everything, the life she wants, everything she wants and imagined for her future was happening and was about to really start for her. And then there is a tragic accident that happens, which I won't tell you exactly what it is, but it drastically and dramatically changes the momentum and the direction of her life. And it impacts not only her, but several of the people in her orbit, her sister, her mother and father, and her fiance. And it's a very easy read. It's kind of great for summer reading because although the material, the plot, focuses on some pretty challenging things, the way that it's written about, the way that it's approached, the way that the author crafted Margaret Jacobson, the character, it, you know, there's a sense of humor throughout. So it's a very light book. You can really read it in a day or less. It's about 230 pages or so, and it reads fast. Okay. Yeah, so I enjoyed it. I think that for me, it wasn't my favorite book, because I really like books that are descriptive. Like I like to feel like I am in the place where the story is taking place. And, you know, not everyone likes that type of storytelling. So for me, I wanted a little bit more description. I wanted a little more time spent in some of the circumstances that have occurred. That being said, there are some very good descriptive moments. And there are definitely some quotes from this book because even though this book is a fictional story, there are quotes from it that are, you know, they're things that I wrote down for myself. And I'll just share one of them because it was the one that was the most powerful for me in the book. And although, you know, we know this, we know that this is true, I guess, you know, I read this book at a time when I needed to read it. So the quote from the book is, "It's the trying that heals you. That's all you have to do. Just try." And that kind of sums up what the book is about, which is perseverance. And, you know, when something doesn't happen the way you expect it to happen, what do you do and how do you handle it? So, so that's kind of the good stuff with the book. I would say, you know, some of the characters, I didn't necessarily believe that they would make some of the choices that they made. And I felt like, given the circumstance that happened, that maybe the author glossed a little bit over how someone would really handle and deal with the situation. And that was her writing choice style decision. But for me, I think maybe there could have been a little bit more of a, I don't know, a little bit more of the not happy stuff to make it a more real type of story, if that makes sense. But to be fair, that is not what, I don't think that's what the intention of the book was. So that could just be my preference.
That's okay. So maybe the book needed 100 more pages, you know, sometimes. No, for real. I read another book a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, it was like 260 pages, and it needed 100 pages more, like, for the story to be fully fleshed out. Like, it needed more time to kind of, like, dive into different things, dive into the storylines and the arcs. So that may be, you know, a short book. Like, sometimes short books can tell you the whole story, but other times it just leaves you kind of like, we should spend 100 more pages, you know, kind of like dive into a little further.
It may be. I guess I just wanted it to be slightly richer than it was. But I do recommend reading it. I mean, it was a good story. It was a good summer read. And it definitely makes you grateful for for what you have and how things are for you. And also makes you understand that at any moment, anything could change for any of us. And that, you know, you have to just take the circumstances in life as they are, and it's what you do with them, which sounds very trite, which probably be my last critique of the book, is that the ending, I would say, was very nicely wrapped up. You know, like, I'm going to tell you the point of this story with the last sentence type of thing, but it's worth the read regardless of that. And when you look at the reviews that other people have had on this book, I mean, people love it. So, you know, it is worth the read. I'm just probably in a mood where I wanted something with a little bit more rumination in it. But yeah,
Did you read my book? Did you read Me Before You?
Me Before You.
By JoJo
Moyes? I saw the movie.
Those books. They said, if you like Me Before You, you'll like How to Walk Away. So I was wondering if it had some comparison, but yeah.
Oh, well, I can guess why there might have been a comparison there, but I'll let you read it. I don't want to spoil the story.
There we go. Awesome. So so that's your book. What other books did you start finishing and you didn't finish that you remember?
Oh, gosh. So The Forever Summer, I started. Okay. Kitchen Confidential. I really loved Anthony Bourdain, and I had never read his book. So sadly, with his passing, I wanted to start reading it. But I don't know, when I start reading it, I get a little sad because it's just, you know, a sad time. And then I have, there's a million of them. I actually started rereading the Anne of Green Gables series.
I never read it. Actually, it's really famous on Instagram. It's a classic, and it's a classic that I've never read. So can you tell me more about it?
Oh, yeah. I love the Anne of Green Gables series. I mean, I read it when I was a kid, so it has a special place in my heart. I love the movie, the mini series by, I think his name is Kevin Sullivan.
Okay.
I'm not a real big fan of the recent remakes of the Anne of Green Gables stuff, just so you know, but it's you can't get the original films that I'm talking about, the Canadian ones, on on iTunes or anything. I think you have to buy it directly from the Canadian company that made the movies, but they're really worth it. But anyway, the story is about an orphan with red hair. That's a big part of her life journey. And she is, I think it takes place at the turn of the century, like early 1900s in Canada, in a place called Avonlea. And she is adopted accidentally. They thought she was going to be a boy, so they almost gave her back. But she was adopted by an older couple who are not a couple, they're a brother and sister, Marilla and Matthew Cuthbert. And it basically, the first book, Anne of Green Gables is where they all live, which is a farm. Basically, it's the story of how they come to be a family. And if you want to talk about rich descriptions, so, Ellen Montgomery is the author. The way she writes may not be for everyone. I love it. It is right up my alley because it's so descriptive. It's so magical the way she draws what you're seeing. I just love reading her books. But anyway, it's about a little girl growing up and finding her family after having, lost her family. And she's had a really tough life back then. So it's awesome. And then you go on from there. The series continues. I think there's like 9 books total, all the way through to her. It follows one of her children into like childhood, adolescence, and being grown even. So there's a lot to read. And I actually haven't finished reading the whole series. I haven't read the books that took place later, but I just love reading Anne of Green Gables. It brings me back to my childhood. For whatever reason, it brings me back to summer. So I finished Anne of Green Gables. I'm on Anne of Avonlea, which takes place, she's a little bit older and she's gonna start to be a teacher. But I really recommend it because the descriptions are fantastic, but the character development, I mean, Anne as a character, Marilla, Matthew, there are these other characters, Miss Rachel Lynde and Gilbert and Diana. Like when you read them, you'll know who those characters are, and they just become alive in your head. I don't know how she does it, but they're just so vivid. But no one is more vivid than Anne. So just love it.
I love it. Maybe I'll pick it off. Yeah.
Yep. So what about you? What were you reading, even though you had your slump?
So here's the thing. Last week I read 9 books. So this rain slam is pretty recent. It's like a week long, but it feels like forever. So I read quite a few books that were like 5-star reads, which was extremely encouraging. I was like, yay, I'm reading 5-star reads. And then I was like, I read 1 2-star read, and then the rest were kind of like 4-star, 3 to 4-star, which is my average, what I normally do. So the first book that I read was Next Year in Havana, which is Reese Witherspoon's book club pick of July. And this book came out in February, and I heard about it, and I was, because it's made of the rounds. It's portrayed as a romance novel, but it's a historical fiction. And I knew about it. I read actually other books by the author that I love. She wrote this great study abroad, new adult series that is like 4 or 5 years old that is amazing, and I ended up rereading it this past week, and I was like, this is amazing. So I love things about the author, so I decided to pick it up, and the book was amazing. Here's the thing, I don't read historical romance. I really don't. I have no care. I like contemporary, like things that are happening right now. So for me to read historical romance, it's kind of like has to be kind of like unique. So this story follows two timelines. It follows 2017 and 1959. And it follows a grandmother and a granddaughter going through similar situations within Cuba. So the 1959 is about the revolution in Cuba. And the grandmother, before she exiles Cuba, she falls in love with a revolutionary. And so this is a story about her and, you know, this, you know, how she was rich. She was actually needed to be proper lady, and so this was a forbidden romance, and so she thought he died, and it was just like this whole process, and so they end up leaving Cuba after the revolution. So she dies, and her granddaughter has to take her ashes back to Cuba because that was her final wish. She was like, you know, I'm leaving you the house and leaving all this stuff, but you have to go and take me back to Cuba and leave the ashes there. So the granddaughter goes back to Cuba and sees Cuba from a different eye. So she discovers this life of the grandmother, like, because there was him, they bury the letters and on the ground. And so she finds these letters and she's like, need to find out this information, because she's like, my grandmother never told me about this. My grandmother only told me she hated Fidel. And so she discovers why she hated Fidel Castro. So she discovers all these different things. And then she also falls in love with the revolutionary, a different revolutionary, but it's kind of like a parallel stories. So what I love about this book was the description. So you felt like you were in Cuba. You felt like you were in Havana. You felt like you were on the different sites. You learn about the history, about the political revolution, about the different battles that happened during 1959, before Fidel Castro took the throne. And then, you know, after that. And then what's happening now. So it's kind of like interesting, very political, but you get different sides of the story. So you don't feel like the author's telling you, we hate Fidel and that's why Cuba needs to come back. So it just basically tells you the different sides of the story. So it just tells you from the revolutionary side to the non-revolutionary side, to the revolutionary, to the current situation, to the not current situation. So, I really love this book. The romance was there, but it wasn't like present. Like, it wasn't like, it's a romance novel, I needed to watch it. It was more like a historical fiction. It was like definitely into the whole Cuban exile. So for me, it was connecting to a community that I grew up with. Like, I grew up in Puerto Rico, but most of my friends their parents came from Cuba. So I grew up learning about this history, and, you know, so it was definitely interesting to see it from a different perspective. Like, my stepdad is Cuban, so, like, I knew about this experience, but I didn't realize it, how much it affected, you know, leaving your country behind because there was a revolution. Yeah. So it was definitely really impactful. So for me, that was a really big part of it. It helped me reconnect with the culture that I grew up with, that I haven't touched base in years. So I really love this book. This book was, you know, if you like descriptions, if you want to feel like you're in a different country and you want to feel like you're in a different world, this book is for you. I really enjoy this book. That was how it was presented, and I really love it. Like, I'm looking forward to rereading it in a year and hopefully seeing different parts of it. I heard the audiobook's really good. It's actually told by two different actresses, so that should be an interesting experience to have. But yeah, this book is awesome. You don't, even though it's historical fiction, if you're worried about it, just give it a try.
Yeah. Oh, I love historical fiction. I know not everyone does, but I love that. So I'm excited. I'm definitely going to put that on my reading list. So let me ask you a question. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So since historical fiction is not your main, you know, go-to for reading, what was the moment in the book, without giving too much away, where you knew you were going to love the book? Like, was there a moment somewhere in the beginning chapters where you were like, this book is so good?
I think when I got the grandmother story, it was so good. The grandmother was like proper, she was like rich, proper lady, you know, buying couture, going to Europe, you know, this really lifestyle society girl. And then she meets this guy and she's like, I don't know what's going to happen. And it was like this forbidden romance that was happening, that was unfolding. And I was like, I want to know what's going to happen. So there were times where I was disappointed about the granddaughter storyline. I was like, I want to know about the grandmother storyline. But then the granddaughter storyline started to have some parallels. And I was like, okay, I need to now know both storylines and see how they work through. But I love how she incorporated the political aspects of it. She incorporated, like, you know, what was life before Fidel Castro, which I did not know about it and understand, like, you know, they did not know that the university was closed for a few years because they didn't want students to revolutionize. And so there were all these different factors that were happening. So it was just interesting to hear about the history. And one of the characters is a history professor. So there's like a history professor telling you, blah, 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 and the history about why this and things were happening. You're like, oh, I did not know that. So, yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, when you were talking about, you know, the grandmother storyline versus the granddaughter storyline, I felt that way about, did you ever read Julie and Julia?
Yeah,
I felt that way. Like, I wasn't as excited about Julie's story as I was about reading the parts that were about Julia. I mean, eventually I loved all of it, but I really got captivated by Julia's story. So
yeah.
I kind of get what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like there's storylines you're like, ooh, this storyline I like better. So when you're having dual timelines, it's like, that's what happens. You're like, there's going to be a time that you're going to like better than the other one. But yeah.
Right. Well, okay, so that's one of the mini books you read. What other books are you recommending this month?
So I read The Book of Essie, which is also, it was a book of the month pick for June, and I did not buy it. I ended up getting it from the library, and I'm kind of sad. I may buy it, actually. So The Book of Essie is a Christian reality TV show of Christian family, kind of like The Doers, where a 17-year-old daughter is pregnant, and we don't know who the father is, but we know that the father, she cannot marry the father. So the mother is like, with the producer, is like, what are we going to do with this pregnancy? So they decided, she was like, she cannot get an abortion because it's a Christian family and they didn't want to have the media fallout if she get an abortion. So they were like, well, she's going to get married. So Essie was like, okay, so that's what they decided. So she's like, I'm going to choose my husband. But she was like, I'm not going to tell my mom that that's the guy that I want her to marry me off. So she kind of like points out like, oh, this family needs help financially. And the son wants to go to Colombia. So, you know, maybe this is the right family. And then we're like, well, that's the mother's like, okay, he's going to be the guy. And so this story unfolds. It's kind of like, you can't put it down. You're like, how does this happen? You want to know who the father is. You want to know why this guy accepts this marriage proposal, who's like at 17 years old. You're like, you're going to marry this girl. And this girl is like, why she's pregnant. Like, you kind of like want to know. And I couldn't put it down. It's like really good. I wish it's told by three storylines. It's told by Essie, who's pregnant. Warwick, who's the guy who she's going to marry with. And then Libby, who's a reporter, who's following the storyline and doing exclusive interviews as they get married, as they go through the world to the wedding. And the storyline for Libby, I wish it was more fleshed out. There were things that are like similar to Essie's growing up upbringing, but there were things that were she grew up as a cult in a cult, and her sister was killed, and so there was like more stuff to the story that. You know, she did a blog and she did this, but they didn't flesh it out more into it. So I wish that it was more fleshed out, that character, if it was going to be in the storyline. But Essie's character was, like, amazing, how she really was able to navigate the whole process of, you know, of getting pregnant at 17 and just going through the whole works of, you know, with the family and the situation.
Interesting. Is this book considered Christian fiction or is it secular?
I think it's secular. I think the Christianity comes with the reality TV show, but the way they acted is not Christian based. So
okay.
yeah, the way the parents acted, you're like, yeah, this is not the Christian way. This is not yeah. So, but the author is a daughter of a bishop or a priest or something like that. So she grew up in a religious household. She's a doctor. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. She's like, my parents are not like that. That's what the note is. Her parents are not like that, but she grew up in kind of like a pastor's daughter or something like that. So
okay,
yeah,
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask. So what was it that drew you to this book that made you pick it up in the first place?
I wanted to know, but I like reality TV shows. Mm-hmm. And I like reading about reality TV shows. I read a couple of books about that. It's kind of like fun to read the behind the scenes. Like I read The Bachelor Nation, which is an awesome book if you like The Bachelor. That's a nonfiction book that goes behind the scenes about it. I read My First Sister, which is all about Real Housewives in New York. Lucy Bates is a thriller on that. So I was like, well, this would be another reality TV show book that I'll just will be based on. So I was kind of curious to hear about it. And then I wanted to know I think I read the first chapter, and when they didn't mention who the father was, I was like, I want to know who the father is, because why is she not married after the father? Like, what's the point? Like, you know, they're holding this book production about this whole marriage. Why she's not marrying off the father? What's the mother's involvement? Like, why she's not letting her, you know? So I was like, is it her husband is the father and she doesn't want to have that? It was like all this different mysteries. You kind of like want to know who the father
is. Right. So there's like a mystery leading you through the whole story.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a tangent. But since you brought up Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah.
I just want to ask, what do you think about Bethany and oh my gosh, her name just went out of my head. They were best friends and they fell out this season.
Carolyn?
Oh my gosh. The writer.
Carolyn?
Carolyn Radziwill. Yeah. Like that they're not getting along at all. It makes me so sad.
But this is what happened to Bethany and Jill.
I know, but Jill was a jerk.
I know. So why are you not getting along? Why are they not getting along?
Are you not watching it? I don't want to tell you.
No, I'm not. I'm not watching it, but I'm curious to hear what's going on.
Oh, no, I'm not telling you anything then. You have to watch it.
No! No, just tell me. Tell me this one.
Well, there's no one specific thing. They're just not, it started out with little small fractures and it's just getting, they're more and more divided. And I don't know, I guess on, Watch What Happens Live, one of them or somebody said something about Bethany having unfriended just about everyone on the show. So I don't know. But anyway, that's not about books. It's a tangent. I thought you might be watching this season. It was just a disappointing development. And sorry, maybe I should have said spoiler alert for anyone who watches it. But if you've been watching, you know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been watching. I stopped watching it a few years ago. I was like, it just got to a point where I was like, I don't know. It's like, it's the same drama over and over. So.
Yeah. Well, I would say, I mean, that's true and not true of this season. I mean, Luann went to jail.
That's true. Well, she's in rehab now, so hopefully she'll be better. But yeah,
Luann went to jail. Let's get back to books. And your last book that you're going to talk about is on my reading list. It is on my summer bookshelf. I actually started reading it last year and did not finish it. So I want to hear all about your experience with this book.
So I ended up listening to this book. It's The Woman at Cabin 10 by Ruth Ware. So my experience with Ruth Ware is a hit or miss. I read The Lion Game and I hated it. I just didn't like the twist. I was like, what's going to happen? Like, I didn't like the book. Like, I really didn't like the characters. And I was just like, this is not right for me. So I ended up using Overdrive So I have like different apps for audiobooks. I use Hoopla from Jersey City Public Library. That's the only reasons why I'm in Jersey City Public Library is for the audiobooks. I don't go to the library there because it's actually, I live in Jersey City, but I don't go to the library in Jersey City because it's too far away for me. So it doesn't make sense. So I use New York Public Library. So New York Public Library doesn't have Hoopla, so I use Jersey City. So they didn't have any Hoopla. They had an overdrive on New York Public Library. And it was one of those things where you didn't have to wait in the queue. So it was just like automatic download. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to give it a try. And I was cooking and I needed something to listen to. So I plugged it in and I listened to the first hour and I was like, I can't put this down. Like, I wanted to know more. And I was like, that's a good book to have. So the story follows Laura. I think it's her name is Laura. She's called Lo and she is Laura. She has like, she goes by a different name. And she's a travel writer and she is sent to this trip in Norway. But there's something happens at the beginning of the book that leads her to kind of like be more paranoid. So she goes on this trip and the trip goes wrong. Like, she hears someone getting killed and she's like, what's gonna happen? So then she's like investigating, kind of like Sherlock Holmes, like trying to figure out what happened, and that gets her in trouble. So for the most of the book, you're kind of like trying to figure out what's happening, and there are parts of the book, it ends at certain parts of the book, and it's like she's missing. So you're like, what's happened? So she's there, the book to tell you Laura's story, and then before the end of each part, there's like an email saying from her boyfriend is like, we're putting in a call that she's missing and that she hasn't called me, and then in the email it's like a internet trail chat room saying, you know, do you know about this person? Did they find a body? And you're like, what happened? You kind of like go backwards of like what happened to Laura? Like, did she get killed or she didn't die or she did this, she did that? So the book is full of twists and turns, and I couldn't care less about the ending. The ending was kind of like, okay. But the book was good. Like, I just want to know what happened. And I was like, at the end, I was like, okay. Like, that was an interesting ending. I was just like, there was a twist at the end. And I was like, okay, that's an interesting twist. But I was like, I could care less. I think for thrillers for me, most time the endings, I'm like, I couldn't care less. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. But they usually give you an extra twist, and you're like, yeah, really, that twist, you didn't need it to have it. But it was a pretty good book. Like, I really enjoy that. If you're looking for a thriller, I would say The Woman in the Cabin 10 is a really good book. Also, Something in the Water by Katherine Sedman. That was June Reese Witherspoon's pick of the month. And that was a really good book too. That was another good thriller where you kept you on your toes. That book starts with she's digging her husband's grave, and you're like, what happened? You spend the whole book trying to figure out, going backwards of what happened. So it's not a spoiler, it's just that's the first chapter, and you're like, what just happened? You're like, what's gonna happen? So if you're looking for thrillers, those two are pretty good books to pick up. But yeah, I would say if skip Nine Game, go for The Woman in the Cabin 10. That's a better experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. For me, I feel like as I get, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, that's what I'm ascribing it to, but I am more and more drawn to thriller and mystery books for some reason. I guess it's, you know, it like the Dan Brown style of writing where like, okay, I've got to know what's next. I've got to know what happens next. I have to know. I mean, that's why when the last Harry Potter book came out, I mean, of course, I loved Harry Potter, but I read it all in one night because the way she wrote that book, like every chapter was just like, wait, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Is Harry going to die? Is he going to die? So, yeah. I think mysteries are, I guess, again, as a mood reader, you might think you'd want to read them around Halloween, but I really love reading them in the summer too for some reason.
Yeah, I've been reading more mystery, more thrillers actually, and I find that they're actually more engaging. Like for me, that's been the shift, that I've been picking up more books of those. And it's kind of like fun too, because I can't put it down. You just want to know what's going to happen next. You kind of like, mm-hmm. you stop, you're like, I want to know. It's like a cliffhanger. And it's like, I want to know what happens next. I want to know what happens next. And it's like, and then I love going blind. I love going with like very little to know what's going to happen. And then just kind of like seeing what the story unfolds.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Lots of good books there.
Lots of good books. So now we want to hear what you're currently reading. So come on over to the blog, whattoreadnextblog.com, and tell us about what you're currently reading, or if you're on a reading slump, what do you do?
And thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We will be back in a month this time, not as long as we were away last time, with a brand new episode. But in the meantime, if you did enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. This will help us get our podcast discovered by a new audience. And as a thank you for leaving a review, you'll be entered into our reviews giveaway, where we'll be giving away a $20 Amazon gift card at a random review. Please make sure to leave your Twitter or Instagram handle in the review so we can contact you if you win. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships. to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.